Hi, I'm Dominique for the blog Music Art Culture. Thank you for listening. We're going to discuss a few topics in the news, a few hot topics, just in case you missed them last week. Everybody remembers the MGM tragedy that happened, but now MGM is suing victims in California and Nevada for last year's Las Vegas concert shooting. There was an attack on Somalia's interior ministry, and the UK government is banning gay conversion therapy. But is there a silver lining? Well, maybe there is. I don't know. There's a group of Christians out in the Philippines who actually showed up with signs apologizing for the way Christians have treated the LGB community at a parade during Pride Week. We have a lot to talk about. Thank you for listening. If you want to follow us, feel free to do so. Thank you for listening to us on Anchor. We do distribute our podcasts on other platforms as well. For more info on the blog Music Art Culture, head on over to our website, musicartculture.org. Again, I am your host, Dominique LaRue. You can also follow me on Twitter at Dominique LaRue. We also have a Twitter page for the blog, and it is at MACEF Public Arts. Again, that's at MACEF Public Arts. You can also follow us on Twitter as well, at Music Art Culture. Let's get into this news, shall we? We want to hear what you think. All right, so MGM sues victims of Las Vegas's outdoor concert festival last year. This is interesting. This is over at the LA Times. We ran across this story and we definitely wanted to share it with you. I'm sure a lot of you have seen it in the mainstream news. Some probably don't have all the facts. It is a developing story. We don't even have all the facts, but we definitely wanted to discuss it with our audience to get some feedback because this is crazy. I live in California and that's where the Music Art Culture Education Foundation is based. So it's very interesting because a lot of people from Southern California, from California in general, and other parts on the West Coast, travel to Las Vegas, Nevada. They travel to Reno, Nevada. They travel to Laughlin, Nevada. So this is basically going to be a milestone case because the plaintiff, MGM Resorts International, the casino and hotel company who owns a lot of other properties in Las Vegas, and what they also own is both the fairgrounds at the Country Music Festival where the incident occurred and the Mandalay Bay Hotel where the gunman perched himself on the 32nd floor and unfortunately injured many people and mentally scarred them back in October. October 1st, actually, during that massacre. So what's going on is MGM is facing lawsuits from more than 2,500 people after that massacre where 58 people were shot to death and many others were injured. But here's the thing. MGM is arguing in two federal lawsuits against survivors that they filed in Nevada and in California that the hotel company is by extension shielded from the survivors' lawsuits because the terrorism laws protection. Basically, the Safety Act passed in 2002 limits liability of companies to provide anti-terrorism services. So pretty much what happened after 9/11, they're using a technicality that states, hey, there's no way we as a company could have provided enough security to know that something of this magnitude was going to happen. Therefore, we should not be found liable or only to a certain extent. It's really disturbing that it's actually come to this, but survivors backed by high profile attorneys, they're making the claim that basically the company did not do enough to prevent the attack or limit the extent of harm. Now, to the first responders who were there, a lot of us saw it taking place on the news. You know, it was sad. It was crazy. Me personally, my heart goes out to the victims. My heart goes out to the first responders. I mean, that's a hard job to have. Those people are amazing for the work that they were able to do. The people who were attending the venues, the people who were outside the venues, anybody who came to the aid of another person in that situation was outstandingly amazing. Nobody can do that type of prediction to where, you know, you think something like that is going to happen and say you would not, as a human being, be active to help someone else. However, it's really sad that this has to go to court like this. I mean, how many times have you been at one of their facilities, one of their properties? I don't know. As a patron, it kind of makes me feel a certain way. Maybe I shouldn't be supporting MGM International Results. Maybe we need to just be really aware of how this company operates, because, I mean, personally, there's never enough money that you can give. There's never enough monetary value that you can place on a life, you know. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know what these people are asking for. They definitely do deserve something. What do they deserve? I don't know. I haven't seen the paperwork. I don't know what they're asking for collectively. I don't know what the MGM is trying to, you know, go for. But it's just really sad. And I want to talk to some of you guys out there to get your feedback and see how you're feeling about this, because this is crazy, right? So my question is, how does it make you feel? And should corporations like MGM be allowed to sue victims? We gotta talk. All right, so this next story, at least 9 were reported dead in an attack on Somalia's interior ministry. The group that's taking responsibility is Al-Shabaab. It's an extremist group that they're trying to tie to Al-Qaeda. And unfortunately, about 9 people, they're saying, were dead and 13 were wounded. This is according to Colonel Mohammed Ahmed, or should I say Colonel Ahmed Mohammed, that's his actual name. Government workers and others came under fire at Somalia's interior ministry, their government. But what was really interesting about the story that we found is that current President Trump, his administration, they stepped up military efforts in Somalia against this leg of Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab. So basically, they increased the amounts of drone strikes. And as a result, one can assume, was the attack on Somalia's government. So it's a really interesting situation, especially when the story details that the U.S. military and other international communities have started to question or express concern, when will Somalia be able to protect itself? Because right now, what they're calling it is a multinational African Union force, which is basically a few soldiers from the US, a few soldiers from France, a few soldiers from Germany, or whomever these soldiers are from. Basically, our army, or this, how can we say, international United Nation type army, is protecting the Somali people, forming some type of police force. But everybody's starting to know, hey, when are you going to be able to, you know, protect your own people? Well, it doesn't necessarily help when we do more drone strikes, but I'm just going to leave that there, because it's really complex and it makes you really wonder. Everyone has a military presence there. So, I mean, if we have a couple of soldiers and other European nations have a couple of soldiers and everybody has their soldiers on Somalia's, you know, grounds, and then you have this extreme terrorist group, what's really going on? Are the people, do they even have the skills? Are they being given the skills that they need to protect themselves? What is that training like? Because, yeah, it's really unfortunate for those who lost their lives, and our condolences go out to those affected by that. But again, the group who is claiming responsibility is Al-Shabaab, and the 3 gunmen responsible for the attack, they are saying that they are now deceased. Very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. But we're gathering that the reason all of this is to hurt the efforts to strengthen Somalia's fragile government and stabilize the long chaotic horn of the African nation. more of that is developing as well. And we want to get some feedback on that too. It's really interesting what happens in other places in the world. So is the U.S. the best place? I don't know. Is it the worst place? I don't know. But definitely, I think we can all do better to be informed as a global community and send out prayers and be more aware of other people's struggles across the globe, so that way we can be more compassionate. Even if we don't go over there, we can be more compassionate with our neighbors here. So it's just good to know. We're going to move on and hopefully get some feedback. How do you feel about the instability when it comes to a lot of other nations who depend on the westernized societies, cultures, mainstream United Nations type entities to come in on the grounds and defend their general populations? I mean, what does that mean? Basically, you have main companies. Did I just call them companies? My bad, I meant to say countries. You have our main countries who go over into underdeveloped third world countries and occupy. Is that right? How do you feel about Somalia? I don't know. Maybe we can talk about it, maybe we can't. We'll see what happens if we can get any responses. All right, so we've got other news too, and I just want to chime in again. A lot of what the news that we read off here for the blog Music Art Culture, these are facts, topics, information that we get from publications that we respect and read ourselves, like the LA Times and also CNN. So if you are interested in looking into these stories more, we do post the links, so that way if you want to read, get some more information, do some back in tracking yourself, feel free to do that. You know, comment, leave a comment, follow us on our social media pages. You can also check out our website, musicartculture.org. That will show you our social media pages, which include Twitter and Instagram, and our Google Plus page. Don't want to leave that out. You can also follow me on Twitter at on Twitter at Dominique LaRue. Our Twitter page for the blog Music Art Culture is MACEF Public Arts, and you can also follow the blog Music Art Culture on Twitter and Instagram. Instagram is at Music Art Culture. I just want to take a breather. I hope that you all find this news interesting, and if there are other local news topics, stories that you think are interesting that we're not talking about, feel free to let us know. We would love to explore them as well. One of the interesting stories that we want to get into now is the UK government's ban on gay conversion therapy. I find this very interesting. I'm of the younger generation, so there is a lot of sexual exploration and identity, dual identity, should I say, as far as the transgender, that whole thing. People want to express themselves however they feel. So it's very interesting when you have the older generations or more conservative groups that tend to show a high level of concern. And well, this story will let it speak for itself. British government is planning to outlaw so-called gay conversion therapy as part of an effort to counter intolerance and discrimination. Now, there are a lot of people. I actually enjoyed this article. I want to add that in. I really enjoyed this article a lot because what it did is gave a lot of statistics from the survey that they actually did in preparation for this whole movement that they want to push in the UK. And so basically what's been happening is with gay conversion therapies, they're based on a premise that being gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender is a mental illness that can be cured. So some people are being sent to therapy. Some people are being, you know, there's extreme measures depending on your belief system and how you approach the situation. What's happening now is during Pride Week in London, This already happened, I believe, sometime in June. For those who aren't familiar with Pride Week, it's a celebratory gathering for the LGBT community. And basically, the announcement was made during Pride Week in London that legislative and non-legislative options to prohibit promoting, offering, or conducting conversion therapy are definitely going to be considered, because they have evidence now, due to the survey that they conducted, that these people who fall into this community are being ostracized, are being discriminated against, are being harassed, and they want them to feel all inclusive. So one of the percentages that we wanted to share based on the survey is 23% who participated in the survey discussed that they were being discriminated in the workplace, and they received negative reactions from colleagues whenever they let them know about their sexual orientation. There is no evidence. The experts, those who are pushing this new initiative, suggest that there is no evidence conversion therapy works, and techniques are largely discredited. There are members of the UK professional bodies of counseling and psychotherapy that are aware of such techniques, and now it's basically to the point where they're saying, hey, this is prohibited. You can't do it. This is not legitimate. And if you're a professional in the UK doing counseling and psychotherapy services, you'll be discredited using these types of techniques. So this is very interesting. Now, a little fun fact, the World Health Organization declassified homosexuality a mental condition in 1992. So basically up until then, they were basically saying that, hey, if you're saying that you're a boy and you like boys, you're a girl and you like girls, same-sex orientation, asexual, you have a mental disability, pretty much. 1992, all that changed. But our question is, if a family or a guardian or a guardian type authority wanted to try some form of conversion therapy or counseling for a minor, teen, or person with a legitimate mental illness, I mean, like something that has nothing to do with the classification of sex and sexual preference, would that be appropriate? I'll repeat the question. If a family or guardian authority wanted to try some form of conversion therapy or counseling for a minor, teen, or person with mental illness, would that be appropriate? Yeah, we're being a little controversial right now because it's very interesting. I mean, it's great that the government is getting involved, but people do have personal religious beliefs. No one can predict what's going on in someone's mind. I'm not defending conversion therapy. I'm not speaking against it, but there are parents out there, there are family members out there, there are guardians, legal guardians of certain individuals out there who are aware of certain things or maybe have personal beliefs. So then where do we draw the line, and legally, what does this mean for both parties? It's very interesting. Let's see if we can get some feedback, people. Tell me how you feel about conversion therapy. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it up to that individual or the persons associated, attached, the legal guardians of that individual to be able to make that decision? Let's figure that out. Let's figure that out. Hopefully we can have a discussion. All right, we're going to talk about this last news feature that, again, comes from CNN. It's a group of Christians that attended a Pride parade to apologize for how they've treated the LGBT community. This is an interesting story. I saw this one and I wanted to include it on the back of the info that we brought to you about the UK government ban on gay conversion therapy, because we wanted to give more than one perspective. And there are a lot of questions that come from people of the religious background who don't necessarily agree with the LGBT community. However, there are a lot of those within the LGBT community who have a religious background and or religious beliefs. And there is some conversation on the level at which they're able to agree on just basic beliefs in how to be inclusive of all. Personally, if you're familiar with Christianity, there's this thing called salvation. And if you believe in Christ, you believe that you are saved, but through confession and believing that, you know, Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. If there's someone who is listening who thinks that I'm preaching, then you need to do some research, because this is the basis of Christianity. And for those who are part of the LGBT community who have been brought up in that belief that God loves me, Jesus died for my sins, I am loved, I should be accepted, no sin is greater than any other sin, they often butt heads with the more traditional religious leadership and backings who say, no, homosexuals are wrong, homosexuality, LGBT has no place in the church. They're constantly at each other's necks. So this story was very important to share, because members of the Church of Freedom in Christ Ministries, this is over in the Philippines, they showed up, made signs like God loves you and so do we. And if you head over to CNN, you can see the visual of all the variety of signs that they made. There's like another sign that said hashtag LGBTQ. For those who don't know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, and the Q is for queer. You are loved. There was a larger banner that was made. The largest letters on it stated, I'm sorry. And then there were a variety of other phrases like, we're here to apologize for the way that Christians have harmed the LGBT community, for hiding behind religion when really I was just scared. I'm sorry for this and that, this and that. These were large signs that these group of Christians brought to this pride parade or fair in the Philippines to show some inclusiveness with that community. So this was in the city of Marikina. I apologize if I mispronounced that, the city of Marikina, which is not far from the capital in the Philippines. This was sometime between late June and early July. And this was a part of the church's demonstration of the I'm Sorry campaign, through which members seek to apologize on behalf of their fellow Christians for the way biblical writings have been used against the LGBT community. So I think this shows a lot of strength for people who are comfortable in their faith and in their belief to extend the same grace and mercy that they believe based on their religion, based on what they've been taught through the book that governs their beliefs, which in this case is the Bible. They are choosing to display that to those who they don't necessarily agree with on every front. Some would call this, if this was political, some would call it bipartisan, you know, whatever. They're working together, people. They don't always agree, but they want to believe the same thing, and they want to work together, and they don't want any problems. I say big ups to those in the Philippines who were able to do that against all of the criticism, because that is so not the norm. But with the older generation getting older and some dying off, with all due respect, the younger generation, they're maturing and they're starting to get some understanding and, you know, some wisdom, some knowledge about just the world and the way things work. And hey, guess what? We don't have to agree, but at some level we should all respect each other. And hopefully the goal should always be to establish a common ground to form a foundation that is stable. So whatever that means to any of you, I don't know. I'd love to talk about it with you. Are you religious, and how do you feel about the church's I'm Sorry campaign? Would you have made a sign? Would you have booed or harassed or attacked someone who did make a sign? Would you have even allowed them on the parade fairgrounds? Would you have allowed them to participate? Do you not care? Do you just, you know, I don't know. How do you feel about that? Me personally, big up, yo. You did something that a lot of people were not bold enough to do. You said, guess what? I'm all about that peace. P-E-A-C-E. Yes. So we could all learn something from the Church of the Philippines. Yeah. I think those people got it right when it came to just acceptance. Some of the other things, I don't know. I'm not in the clergy, but, you know, maybe we should talk about it some more. I hope you've enjoyed these new stories, and let's see if we can get some feedback. All right, thank you for listening, and I hope that you join the conversation. Unfortunately, we weren't able to get any feedback on the platform today using our Anchor podcast, but if you heard any of the stories that you like, feel free to give us two of these on the applause meter so that way we can know we're doing a great job. And guess what? Feel free to leave a comment as well. We'd love for you to inbox us. Follow us on our social media. We want to hear from you. Let us know how you feel about these current events, and or if we should be talking about some other things that are possibly happening where you're from. We would love to have that conversation with you and figure out what's going on, because we are all about music, art, culture, community, people, and a world of learning. So head over to our website, musicartculture.org, to get more info on all of our social media pages. I'm your host, Dominique LaRue. You can also follow me on Twitter at Dominique LaRue. We're also, again, on Instagram. We are also on Twitter. We are also on Google+. So feel free, head over to musicartculture.org to find out more about our social media pages so you can talk about what we are talking about. And we want to hear from you and get your feedback. Till next time, look forward to having that conversation. Later. And thanks for listening to the blog Music Art Culture.